It's that time of year again. Time to help your kids start the new school year strong. And Target's a one-stop shop. They've curated all the things your child needs to thrive. From essential school supplies like crayons and colored pencils, to all the stylish schoolwear to personalize your child's school journey. They even have everything you need to ensure their lunchbox comes back empty. Target is all about setting kids up for their best year ever. Head over to Target.com and explore their full range of back-to-school solutions. Give your kids the ultimate head start with Target. Hey guys, welcome back to the Pregnant Pause podcast for women at the intersection of motherhood and ambition. I'm your host, Danielle Cadet. And today we're gonna have a real conversation about money. Having kids is expensive. And sometimes it can feel like it's not even worth it if you're not rich. For me, growing up as a child of immigrants and a first generation American, there were only a couple of jobs I was allowed to have. And you know this is real if you are first gen. You're only really allowed to be a doctor, a lawyer, maybe a nurse or a teacher. I did none of those things. When I became a journalist, my family thought I was crazy, but somehow I made a pretty decent living. Then I had kids and I had to completely rethink everything I believed to be true about kids. Here to join me on that conversation is the one and only Mileek Teal. Mileek, welcome and thank you for being here with me. I want to make sure the people know, like, I really want to make sure, because we are talking like entrepreneur, community builder, mother, like, there are so many titles that I feel like you carry and have and are continuing to pick up, really. I want to start there. We're just talking about like who you are and the career you've built.
Thank you. You know, recently I was doing something and someone said the best way to describe her is a Swiss Army knife. And so I've been going with that.
Wait, that's great.
Yeah. Like she's kind of like, what do you need? There are a few things that she can't do. So I don't know. I have always been, I think what they call it is, there are some people who are divers mm-hmm. professionally. They mm-hmm. go into something and they're going deep in it. And mm-hmm. I'm probably one of like a scanner, you know, there are lots of things that I like mm-hmm. to do. And one of the thoughts that I have had recently is just, how many ideas will I die with? Because there's so much more that I want to do. It's like, I feel like there's not enough time.
Right, so right, right.
I feel like I'm living this life just getting to explore, try and do everything that I want.
That's okay. There's so many things there that I'm like Swiss Army knife. That's brilliant. And I want to back up because I do, like you said, you have so many ideas. Let's history, right? Let's give a history lesson, okay. Right? Curl box,
yes.
Right?
Like, yes.
When we talk about social media and how it exists today, I mean, you really are an OG in this space.
Yes.
And an entrepreneur, someone who saw an opportunity and filled a void,
yes.
Like from jump.
Yeah.
When you say that there are these ideas, like that you, like how many ideas will you die with? Where did that, like, how did you even get the idea?
You know that I have a background in PR.
Mm-hmm.
And when social media, Instagram, yeah. was first came out, it wasn't even called digital marketing back mm-hmm. then, but it was just like, give us someone who, I knew the online space very well. So I was working with someone in the beauty industry and we were going to these hair meetups. And I was just like, I know that Black women around the world would love a hair meetup
yeah.
of sorts. And how could I do that?
Right.
And that's when I had the idea for Curlbox and I went online. Nobody had bought it. I'm like, how did no one think of this? $9.99. Grab the website.
$9.99.
Grab the website. And then you know what I did is I started spamming Instagram every day. I was doing 4 posts a day back when it was not cool to do that.
Back when it was, yeah, right.
It was like very mysterious.
Back when it was like lo-fi. Like
And I was like reposting other people's pictures. So I was
People weren't doing.
They weren't doing that. So I was kind of doing like a magazine of like what I would want to see.
Right.
And then when I got the idea, I think, over the course of my life, I had maybe shipped 3 boxes. And when I started this business and we were going to ship thousands of boxes, I launched it. I didn't know how I was going to do it. I just said, just get 3 months of boxes and see where it goes.
Mm.
I did that.
a friend introduced me to another friend who owned a fulfillment company. And I was like, so I don't have any credit. He was like, you good. So everything was like, I had to do it.
Right.
3 months turned into, I want to say 12 years.
My gosh.
Yeah.
And a very successful business.
Yes.
Incredibly so.
Yes. Yes.
We have so much to get into, and that, yes. and that's there's a lot there in terms of just your entrepreneurial journey.
Yes.
I want to do a little thing that I like to call same same.
Okay.
With my guests and talk about like what we have in common, right? Okay. And we have something really special in common.
We do.
Our daughters, Lennox and Olivia.
Yes.
Are best friends.
Yes, they are.
Like real best friends.
Real, yeah. I didn't believe it. When I was parent reader, I went to read. I think the girls were two.
Mm-hmm.
And I walk in and I've got my book, and here comes my daughter and here comes your daughter. And they are both with me as a parent reader. And so I'm saying to my daughter, I'm like, who's your friend? And they both kept saying Rennis. So then I tried to go on this show. I was like, well, I have to reach out to Rennis's parents because I have a new family member.
Right. And honestly, like the rest was kind of history.
It
it's been so beautiful not only to watch them and their, you know, little relationship thrive. Oh. But I have to admit, like, I have been very lucky.
Oh, please.
Like, I have very much struck like the like mom friend gold in that, like, when we met, we had a very natural connection, which doesn't moms happen. Know that doesn't happen.
No.
Like, that play date is not,
yes,
not always that enjoyable.
No. Yeah.
That is. So we just had that magic, which I've always been really, really grateful for. Yeah. And like, you encouraged me to do this podcast.
Yes.
Like, people need to understand that.
Yes.
When I didn't think this podcast was going to happen,
I said, the podcast is happening.
It's happening.
Yeah.
So I love that we have that very special connection and like, and have a real relationship, right? I think that it's rare that you get that.
Yes.
You know, but I think one place where I want to start in terms of like our connection is that our kids go to school together, right?
Yes.
And it, you know, they go to a school that isn't cheap.
It's not.
Right? It's not inexpensive.
The most expensive.
And one thing that I think you do so many things so well. You talk about money,
yes,
really openly and honestly, in ways that often in the Black community we don't,
right?
And particularly when it comes to parenthood,
yeah.
And so I want to jump into a little bit of that. How did your entrepreneurial journey sort of impact how you think about money in general, but also as a parent?
Oh my gosh, you know, it's. So I'm pregnant and I go to my accountant, like, you know, I know I'm doing okay, but I don't like how expensive is this? And, you know, like, what version of this do I want to do?
Okay.
And I'm sitting in my accountant's office. I love my accountant. Anyone who knows me knows I love my accountant. First thing he says to me is he says, I want you to make me a promise.
Mm.
And I said, what? He goes, promise me that you will not give this kid the best of everything.
Ooh.
I said, he said, because that's me. Okay.
Right.
He said, because if you do, you are going to rob him of the very thing that made you who you are. So that was like, so we can talk numbers and then we're going to talk about how we're not going to do the best of anything. So then I'm like, okay, so where do I invest? And he said, you know, that was the reason the whole thing of like, public school, because he was very adamant. And I know we could probably go, it's a hard conversation. It depends on where you live.
Sure.
I get it.
Sure.
He was just like, for where we are, like, this is what I want you to do. And he said, the financial investment that I want you to make is on the front end, which is the early learning.
Early learning. Kids. Right. I've heard
so
the same.
He said that if you invest in the early learning and you create kids who genuinely want to learn, who are enthusiastic about learning, that will carry you.
Mm.
And so,
whoa,
that is just so.
Okay. This is fascinating. I mean, first of all, that just blew me away.
Yeah.
And I think that's important for people to hear. Like, just even thinking about, I think it's really natural to want to give your kids the best of everything.
Yes.
But I love that you went to your accountant, right? So you're pregnant. How pregnant are you?
I was probably like 6 months, because I also was signing my
kid up for a 529 because I was just like, right. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and let me get his college.
Yes, let me be prepared. Right. Yeah. Let me check off all right.
Yeah. So
you go to your account. Did you have any idea how expensive? No. This is a joke that you and I say often, right?
Yes.
Like, we were rich. And then we had kids. Right? Like, you had money and then you had children.
I had I tell people I had a foundation of I didn't always have money. I didn't come from money. I was, we not hustling no more like that.
Yeah.
But I did.
Yes.
I did.
Right.
And
right.
I made it happen for myself. And I did want to have a family. And I did, when he said to not give my kids the best of everything, I appreciated that.
Mm.
And so that made some of my other decisions of doing the Georgia free pre-K program and other things like that made it easy for me to do but I did not know how expensive it was going to be. This the total life shift of going from one to two also.
Right.
Because now we're talking, I'm having two. Now we're talking a different car.
Yes.
Now I need a different car.
Yes.
Now I need another car seat. Now I need the double stroller.
Yes.
Now the daycare is, there's not one but two. And just know that I'm thinking about, because I have my kids are 2.5 years apart.
Right.
So they were both at daycare at the same time.
Yeah.
And I talked to another friend who is a wealth manager, and she just, I just was kind of like, what happened to me? Why am I I'm working?
Mm-hmm.
My checks are still coming.
Right.
Allegedly, I'm still getting paid.
Yes.
Where is my money?
Where's my money going? Where is the money
she
going?
She said, well, with two kids in daycare, she's like, you got a little Maserati payment. Just
right.
Just.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So there's daycare. And now I just think modern parenthood has just gotten so crazy sock day.
Yeah.
These other things that now go along with it. Right. I don't recall going to this many birthday parties.
Right. Oh, my God.
There are birthday parties. And
there is activities on the weekends. There's the extracurricular. It's not just school. It's everything. And it is, the average family spends about, I think it's about 60% of their household income on childcare.
I believe it.
Which is exorbitant, right? We know that childcare costs are no joke in and of themselves.
No.
So when you go to your accountant and you're thinking about this, did you have an understanding? Because I think for me, and I love what you said about how you didn't come up with money, right?
Yeah.
For me, the way I thought about money as a, I'm a child of immigrants. Mm-hmm. I'm first generation American. I was very much raised in a household where it was you get a job that is good enough that you don't have to worry about money, right? So you become a doctor or a lawyer. Yes. For all my first gen folks out there, ain't no other job but doctor, lawyer, nurse, maybe a teacher. I came to my parents and were like, I want to be a journalist. And they were like, excuse me.
Right.
Well, what are you talking about?
Come back.
Right. No. Go to law school and then we'll have a conversation.
Right.
So I grew up very you get a good job. And that is, I didn't really think about I just thought about, okay, you get a job that affords you the ability to live a good life. I wasn't really thinking about whether it was certain investments or certain ways to think about my money. And really, when it came to children, other than a 529, I wasn't really thinking about how do I want to think about their lives financially?
Yeah.
And, what would you say to someone who kind of feels like, I can't have kids because it's too expensive to have kids.
Yeah. I would say, we all want to do a good job. We want to do the best job possible. Right. And when we have these little kids, everything feels high stakes.
Right.
It really does.
Yeah.
As someone who has taken my accountant's advice, where I have paid, I have paid a fortune for even my son came to my daughter graduated.
Yeah.
And he came to the graduation and looked around and was like, my graduation wasn't like that because you did free pre-K.
Right. Yes.
No, it did not. It was in a parking lot. Different kind of parking lot. There was no after party.
Right. The pizza and the popsicles.
We didn't have all that.
We didn't have all that.
Yeah. But I would say that
that experience that he had was uniquely enriching.
Yes.
And
yes.
It was free.
Yes.
And so there are ways that you can raise your child, perhaps without all the different high spend, high ticket things. But I'm going to tell you what you have to do. You have to be in community.
Yes.
You have to be invested in a community, because your community is going to fast track everything for you.
Yeah.
So you're going to find out about the best, cheapest swim lesson.
Right.
You're going to get the hand-me-downs all your friends my daughter did the gymnastics. Yes. This is over here.
Yes.
Oh, so-and-so's daughter's in high school. She can pick them up.
Right.
You have to, that is going to be where you spend. Mm. It's like showing up in that community, investing your time.
Yes.
I think it's possible. It is expensive, but I think there are some workarounds. Mm. That you can do it if you are in community.
In community. I love that you mentioned that, because I do think being in community in general in parenthood has made all of the difference.
Yep.
You know, they talk about the village, and I think the village can look a lot of different ways.
Yes.
And I love that I don't know that we talk about the village or being in community in relation to saving money, right?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know that we talk about it in relation to like getting the hacks and finding out, like, you know, getting the hand-me-downs or finding the cheapest swim class. Or I think oftentimes we just feel like, and you are really great at this, I want you to talk about this a little bit. We oftentimes just feel like you got to do the best thing.
Yeah.
This is the best Montessori school.
Yes.
This is the best private school. This is the best swim class. It costs an insane amount of money, but I'm going to do it.
Like,
how do you get through that as a parent? I mean, so your accountant, first thing is like, your accountant's like, don't give them the best of this. But how did you get to the other side of that? Because I feel there'd be a tension there.
There is a tension of like, well, I can afford it and people are doing it. I think, you know, seeing, this is something that I learned, is that the best, what is it, generally may not be the best for you.
Mm.
So if this is the best school on paper, is this going to be the best community? Is this the right fit? Are these the things that are going to work for you? And I think that is what has helped me, of like, I now am like, the best to who? You know what I mean? It's like, who is this the best to? Mm. And what's going to be best for me? I remember I was having I do a lot of work with Good Inside and Dr. Becky, and I was talking with her about what was the best school,
right?
You know, Reggio, Montessori, this
yes.
and that. And
yes.
she said something that stuck with me, and she was like, the best is going to be the thing that allows you to have the least amount of stress. So if that's the school on the corner, that's the best school for you, because our children benefit when we have less stress.
Love that. I want to push on that a little bit. As Black parents, as Black mothers.
Yes.
I do think we feel the pressure of access, right? Right. Oftentimes the best feels like, or could feel like, we're helping our children along, right? We're opening that door for them. We're giving them access that maybe they wouldn't otherwise have.
Yeah.
I want to talk about privilege in a moment.
Yeah.
That's very important. And when I say that there's a tension, I'm even in my own head, I'm like, what if you're as a parent, you're afraid that the school on the corner doesn't necessarily afford them the same opportunities, which I feel we often think about a bit more, right? Like, I think that there are different types of privilege, of course. And white privilege affords you, you know, certain levels of access, and economic privilege affords you certain levels of access, which I must admit we have, right? Yes. How do you combat that feeling of like, but what if I'm selling my Black child short?
I think the benefit of just like the life that I lived, you know, I am an older parent, and I think that reaching a certain level of success without those things lets me know that you can do all these things and they could amount to something or they could not.
Mm.
You know, I do think that there is value in all experiences, mm-hmm. you know, there is value in all experiences. And I do think that some of my ideas of wanting to change things is just like because of all the things that I felt like I could change or help, you
right,
know?
Right,
and so
right.
I do like, you know, I remember when I moved my son from like his very fancy school to the free school. And I remember emailing the teacher, I was like, just wanting to know how often is he using the bathroom every day? And she was like, I don't know. Like, that's on y'all. Like,
and you're paying how much?
$0. Like, I don't, honey, I don't keep up with that.
Right.
I was like, yes. Like, I feel like there was, it really, and you know what it did, Danielle, is that it really pushed me to lead my kid to be more independent.
Mm.
And now I see, even now, you know, you see all these parents walking their kid to the front door.
Yeah.
And I was just like, I just said to him when he turned 7, like, I ain't walking you to the front door anymore. And now if I try to walk him to the front door, he has a fit because there's just this. Yeah. And other parents like, oh my God, he just seems so mature. But there is some experiences push you as a parent. And I feel like some of us need that.
Right.
I need to be pushed. We need to be pushed.
Yes. I want to talk about privilege, right? Like, I think we would be remiss to have this conversation without acknowledging our own level of privilege. Okay. You know, our ability, you know, for our children to meet at such a great school. But I you are very clear that, like, and this is oftentimes the experience for Black parents, is that we don't often grow up with the level of privilege that we are affording our children.
Completely.
So, and what I love about how you talk about money is that, like, you don't talk about it from a place of, like, you need to have a lot of it to succeed.
Right.
Where does that, tell me where that comes from.
I think it's just my own upbringing. Mm-hmm. I just like sometimes look at my kids in sheer envy, just how they live life and what they worry about and don't worry about and mm-hmm. the things that they say that they want. Like, that was not my experience. Mm. And so there are parts of this journey where it is important to me for them to have some understanding of sort of where I came from. Like, this is my son, you know, he's like, Mom, when you grew up, did you have this? You know, he's going through things that we have in our house.
Right.
And going, no, I didn't have that.
Right.
No. And he's like, did anybody work? he's not understanding this. And I'm just like, things were so different, but look at me now, you know? And so things were different. We have these things. We don't need these things. All of this stuff is extra.
Right.
And he also said, like, I asked him something of, like, what would he say about, like, me as a mother? And he said, you know, you give us, we're very grateful. It was like Thanksgiving. We're very grateful. You give us a lot of things that we don't necessarily need. And that is the
line. I love that he knows that.
He knows that.
He knows that.
You don't need this.
We don't need this.
We don't need this.
Okay, let's stay on that for a second, right? Because, yes, I do think that a lot of times as parents, we throw the thing. We're like, we tell ourselves we need things that maybe we don't need.
Oh, God.
Right?
Yeah.
And I love that you are my greatest resource in terms of, like, where, like, and I'm going to be frank, what's the free stuff?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, where are the free, like, what's the best park or the best, you know, outing or, you know, my daughter is going to pre-K, and you were the person who told me about the free pre-K program at the Y. I want, you know, to make sure that people know that there are resources, right? It can oftentimes feel really daunting.
Yes.
It can feel like if you don't have millions of dollars, you're not going to have the access to the great things for your child. How did you think about that? How do you think about it? Because it's an ongoing thing. It's not just, I mean, to your point about early learning, that early stage of development for them. But in general, like, how do you approach just finding the free stuff?
You know, it started with, I had I was doing like a surplus. I had a surplus of breast milk for my daughter.
Okay.
And so I was like, ah, God, like somebody, it's COVID. Like some babies need this. Yeah. I know. So I found this like free underground, like free breast milk exchange thing where, wow, where families and parents, mostly white, mm-hmm, are, you know, getting milk for their babies.
Wow. Okay.
And from there, there's like links to different things. And you start realizing like certain people aren't paying for anything. And they don't look like us.
Child.
They.
Let's talk about that.
I mean, it's COVID. I'm feeling like I done found gold. So y'all not paying for nothing.
Y'all not paying for nothing.
So y'all are giving away baby beds and strollers and, oh, I bought this, but I don't want it. You know, who wants to pick, mm-hmm, it, pick it up today?
Mm-hmm.
And the buy nothings. And I was just like, oh, this
the
is
buy nothing.
Oh, it's, yeah, there's, it's a whole thing. It's, go on Facebook, do buy nothing and put your neighborhood in, buy nothing, enter your neighborhood, and it'll be like, I'm giving away a TV. I took one sip out of this bottle of wine. I don't like it. Come pick it up. Like, and I was just like, oh,
this is the hack.
This is the hack. Right. I got a, you know, I've got all 3T girls clothes sitting on my front porch.
Right.
And I was like, oh, people aren't actually paying.
They're not paying for things.
They're not paying for things. And they're, and when I, you know, you start to notice these free programs, like that free pre-K program, mm-hmm, I want to say my son was the only, maybe one of two, if maybe the only Black boy in that free program.
So we're talking about how expensive childcare is.
And
folks are not paying
for
childcare.
They're not paying for these things.
Wow.
They are finding, they are built, they've got the WhatsApps, right, they've got their groups, and this is what they're doing. Like, I am well resourced,
right,
and this is hard.
Right. Right.
Ain't no way we're gonna be doing it by ourselves. There is no way.
I want to, because this is, I mean, to your point, like we identify, and I think one of the reasons why we connected so easily was because we believe in community, right? And it really is the village. You know, the reason I wanted to do this podcast is so Black women specifically feel less alone, yeah, in this, you know, family planning and parenting journey. And so we need the hacks, right? Like you said, you get into the group chats, you get into the mama, the mom groups, you get the hacks. You have mentioned, you know, your wealth manager, a financial planner, and accountant. What if you don't have those?
What if you don't have those things? I think step one is you just really find a person who is comfortable talking about money.
Mm.
Because I wasn't always comfortable talking about money until I met someone who kind of just talked about it like the weather, you know? And I was like, this person looks like they're living their life. And then from there, it's like, okay, well, how did you get here?
Mm-hmm.
And so I think we just have to become more comfortable talking about, you know, where we are,
mm-hmm,
with our finances. Mm-hmm. You know, I think family planning, it is important to figure out where you're going to live while, mm-hmm, you're doing this,
mm-hmm,
what kind of early learning you're going to do. You know, these, mm-hmm, lists, they fill up.
Yes, yes.
And I would even encourage people, if you are not a parent yet, to start building a village now.
Mm.
I think this is something that I wish I had been better at. I didn't have a lot of friends who were moms when I was not a mother.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, I think the reason, like, my Leaking Mamas is for, it's for moms and those who love them.
Right.
Because we need aunties.
Yes.
We need moms whose kids have gone off to college.
Right, right. We need godmothers. That. We need cousins. You need the rich auntie that ain't got no kids.
Yes. Who doesn't mind
getting
to get the kids.
Yes.
You know? And so I think you're just going to need so many more people.
Mm.
And if you're the type of person, because I was kind of like, you know, I'm not a big, like, I don't want to be doing this with everybody.
Right.
You're going to have to do it.
You have to. Yes. You can't do it alone.
You can't do it alone. And I think even if you have the finances, you still can't do it.
You can't do it alone. Yeah. There's no amount of resources that is going to make it such that, I mean, this experience is, first of all, more enjoyable,
mm-hmm,
but so much easier in community.
Yeah. So let's see. Let me go through some of the hacks. Number one, you got to start talking to people. Number two, I think you have to get into some of the groups in your community. Like I said, buy nothing, mm-hmm. all of these things, and start figuring out what's free.
Right.
You know,
Figure out what's free.
And a lot of it is free. Even if the thing that you really want doesn't seem free, mm. there is probably a free version of everything you want. Mm. Mm. You can rent it, you know, you can do all these things.
Yeah.
Remember that though things seem very high stakes, very few things in parenting are written in permanent marker. Mm. You know, so
love.
You sign up for a school and it's a fortune and you're like, this is eating into my budget and this is like messing up my lifestyle. Move. Mm. Switch. You know what I mean? It's just like you can supplement.
Yes.
And so I think that's also important. I think that you need to figure out what is the thing you're going to spend on. Please don't be like me and buy every stroller, every item of clothing.
I did it
every
too.
Every little cute.
Yes.
Thing
yes.
Because it's not going to fit.
Yes. They're going to outgrow it. They're going to get it dirty. It's going there. There have been outfits that have gotten paint on. I'm telling you, that's why I've got to go and exchange the clothes and do the, when I learned about the exchanging program, I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Because they're growing like weeds. And it's like you said, you want the cute pictures because that's what social media tells us, yes. right? It's like to have the perfect pictures, but then real life kind of slaps you around a little bit.
Big time.
And you're yeah. like, that outfit is not going to make it through the day.
Every time I see people with these beautiful family photos, I'm like, how do they get all their kids together? My kids is like, everything's a joke. Nobody's doing it. And so even sometimes when we do these things, it's like, can you pretend that I parent you?
Oh, truly. I am not above bribing my children.
Oh, full time.
Definitely.
Yes.
So before we close out, I want to pause, right? I want to take a pregnant pause. For folks who feel like it is too expensive to have kids. I mean, you see families with more than one or two kids. You're like, in this economy, like, you're like,
yeah,
we just said we're like four kids in this economy. What would you say to someone who, you know, is considering having a family, but just feels like it's too expensive, that they don't have that level of privilege to access, you know, to offer, to their children? What's your message to that person?
My message is like, I see you. Mm. This is real. And even in community and with hacks, it is a cost. Mm-hmm. And if it is not something that, you know, if you feel like it's going to be too much of a burden, really think about it. But if you're leaning strongly on doing it and the only thing holding you back is that, mm-hmm. I would say that start connecting with people who are doing it and doing it well, mm-hmm. and just start talking to them and building your list and figuring out where you're going to move, how you're going to do it. And you can get into, you know, what I've learned is that people really want to help you, mm. especially as parents. And so, you know, you'll have a situation. Even now, it's like I'll pick them up for the birthday so that you don't have to go.
Right.
And people, no gifts. Please don't bring anything. We just want your presence.
Yeah.
And so I would just say that sit down, do the numbers, know that there are going to be, as we call them, the expensive years.
Right.
There are some expensive years on the front end. And I think there are those expensive years when you get ready for college. Mm-hmm. But I think that there are some ways that you can really do parenting well without, you know, breaking the bank, and even the family trips, like all those things, there are ways to do that. Maybe you're doing more road trips. Maybe you're doing staycations. Like, there's a way to have your experience.
Absolutely.
Without spending. And even if you have it, still don't spend it all.
Mm. Miley Teal, it is an honor to have you as part of my community. You know, I can't lie. I have access to the hacks, which I feel very lucky for. And I feel very, very honored that you came on the Pregnant Pause podcast and that you shared all of your insight and also shared that you're still learning, right?
Yes.
I think that is such a, for me, it's been so awesome to have conversations with you. As you say to me, Danielle, I'm still learning.
Yes.
So I thank you for
the
wealth of knowledge and for the time.
Yes.
And thanks for coming on the Pregnant Pause
podcast. Thanks for having me.
The Pregnant Pause podcast is an original show created by me in partnership with Exa Nicole and Will Packer Media. It's produced by Super Jupiter. If you like what you heard and want more, make sure to subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts and watch us on YouTube on Exa Nicole TV. This is a community, y'all. So hop in the comments, rate, like, subscribe, talk to us. Let's build a village together. You can also find us on Instagram at Pregnant Pause Pod. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.